Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, The Devil's Advocate. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, The Devil's Advocate. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the strategic analysis best practice of employing a contrarian, a devil's advocate, to test the assumptions, logic, and overall validity of the conclusions and recommendations formed during the strategic analysis process. And so now, without further delay, let's get started.
Nathan Ives, yes. Well, it is wonderful to hear your voice. Man, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Howard. How are you?
I am doing phenomenal-tastic, Nathan. It is such a wonderful day. It is such a wonderful day, man. I've been having a blast. I taught a two-day course here at And I am glad that it's finished. It kind of wore me out, man. I tell you, it was a wonderful experience, though. Getting a chance to do this course, it's a new course and new opportunity to be able to make some impact in some people's lives. And so I tell you, I was glad to really get that pilot. I consider it a pilot out of the way. But I tell you, I always give 110% to everything I do, and when you're teaching, when you're pouring out, sometimes I tell you it can drain you. But I'm glad to be in place right now, buddy.
I know you do
because I tell you, you are a man that is what a fine example of someone that knows how to go to the edge. And I know you're burning in midnight oil now, so I tell you what, we're going to make sure that we give you the room that you need to be as productive as you possibly can. So with that said, in our last podcast, Nathan, we kicked off a discussion of strategic analysis process. Now, why don't we quickly recap what we believe that process covers?
Oh, sure, Howard. Well, the last time, we said that a strategic analysis is a critical component of both the evaluation and control program and the strategic planning process, that the analysis provides executives and managers with a comprehensive assessment of the organization's capabilities and market factors, revealing growth opportunities and vulnerabilities. Strategic analysis combines in-depth information from a number of internal and external sources to create a picture of the company's current health and future viability, employing a multi-phased approach to both data acquisition and analysis, which includes five key things.
Okay.
First is strategic posture and performance analysis. The second is an internal capabilities assessment. The third is an external environment assessment. Fourth is analysis of strategic factors. And the fifth is strategic alternatives and recommended actions. Finally, we stated that armed with the strategic analysis findings, executives and managers possess the analytical insight that is needed to augment their experience in the formulation of their company's future direction and to improve upon existing shortfalls in their strategic alignment and their execution, which in turn ultimately makes the organization more strategy-driven.
That's really outstanding, Nathan. I bet that the title of this podcast, The Devil's Advocate, some of our listeners by surprise.
Yeah.
Now, what then is the Devil's Advocate, and how does he or she help with the strategic analysis process?
Well, Howard, a devil's advocate is someone who assumes a position opposed to the consensus viewpoint of a group with the intent of helping members avoid groupthink and ultimately strengthening the conclusions, recommendations, and decisions made. He or she actively seeks opportunities, to discredit supporting information, challenge seemingly logical conclusions, and by doing that, the devil's advocate demands a very rigorous defense be presented by the group of folks who are presenting that particular position, which ultimately strengthens the final decision.
Interesting.
In his book, and you know, there's been things written on this. In fact, in the book, The Effective Executive, by one of my favorite authors, Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker is really revered as one of the foremost management experts of all time. Peter Drucker highlights how Alfred P. Sloan, the former president and CEO of General Motors, would not allow a decision to be made by his executive team unless this type of dissent and challenge was made to the decision. Mr. Sloan reasoned that a decision not undergoing a rigorous scrutiny and a challenge by the devil's advocate was probably not the best decision. Mm-hmm. It was rather a product of groupthink, a product of the shared experiences of the executive team, and that it really lacked the critical insight needed to be fully successful.
Now, Nathan, it appears that you're suggesting that a devil's advocate can help a group avoid a type of decision shortfall. Can you elaborate on what that shortfall is?
Oh, sure, Howard. The situation we're trying to avoid is a lack of rigor and criticality in the data, the logic, and then subsequently the conclusion assessment. This situation often results when groups within a company have shared experiences, which can result from long-term tenures, relationships, or holding and performing similar jobs. Really, it's a lack of diverse employment background, especially at a positional level. It can result from having a great deal of organizational pride, which, while in and of itself isn't bad, unless it blinds individuals to the internal and external realities that exist. The last piece that might cause the situation or that we're seeking to avoid is, in some cases, organizations, they lack a sense of trust between the group members, and so they actually try to avoid conflict, and it's in avoiding that conflict that they end up in groups think or in this, you know, easy consensus, and then they don't rigorously challenge the decisions that are made.
So how can this situation damage an organization, Nathan?
Well, Howard, each of these conditions, shared experience, excessive organizational pride, and conflict avoidance, creates a situation in which data, logic, and conclusions are not rigorously evaluated. which in turn is more likely to lead to either over or understated goals. Inflated expectations, may drive investment in products that are well outside of the organization's risk tolerance. Conversely, underestimation of the organization's capabilities will drive pursuit of, really diminished or lowered goals, and then subsequently organization underachievement. And in today's aggressive marketplace, and with all the intense scrutiny that's going on by shareholders who they themselves have, very high demands and expectations of executive teams, missteps like these can really be disastrous for a company and its senior leaders.
Now I'm guessing that some organization or groups will naturally have a devil's advocate, but others won't. Now, how can a group ensure that they're able to practice and realize the benefit of this best practice?
Well, the devil's advocate is itself a challenging position to fill. And as you mentioned, Howard, some organizations just naturally have one or more individuals who just assume that role. For those, though, that don't have that resident skeptic, the position of devil's advocate can actually be assigned, and I would suggest on a rotational basis in order to spread that wealth around, a wealth that many people don't want to have. And people don't often feel comfortable with it because they don't want to, over time, be labeled as the contrarian. They don't want to be seen as going against the group. So if we rotate the position of devil's advocate or contrarian, if we'd like that term instead, it's more comfortable. Everybody shares that wealth. Whatever the case is, it should be remembered that the contrarian must exhibit the qualities of critical thinking and a questioning attitude, which, really are worthy traits to have executives and managers. The devil's advocate must also not be mean-spirited. While the individual is being challenged to take that contrarian position, he or she must do so with the intention of helping the group improve its performance by reaching better conclusions. It's not about being right or wrong. It really is all about better decision-making.
Wow. Outstanding, Nathan. And I tell you, once again, now, this is awesome. Let me check my notes and recap like I always do.
Okay.
Just for our listeners, okay?
All right. Sounds
now,
good.
We said that a devil's advocate is someone who assumes a position opposed to the consensus viewpoint of a group with the intent of helping members avoid groupthink and ultimately strengthen conclusions, recommendations, and decisions made.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's right.
Now he or she actively seeks opportunities to discredit supporting information and challenge seemingly logical conclusions.
Yes.
Now, that by challenging the group's position, the devil's advocate demands a rigorous defense be presented by the evaluating group, ultimately strengthening the final decision.
That's right.
Now, we then stated that a group is at risk of a groupthink situation when they've closely shared experiences, overly high organizational pride, and or conflict avoidance, and that these conditions can create a situation in which data, logic, and conclusions are not rigorously evaluated, which in turn is more likely to lead to over or understated goals, fault decision-making, and lead to poor results.
Absolutely. Right on target.
Finally, we stated that the devil's advocate's position is challenging to fill, and that some organizations will naturally have one and others will have to assign one on a rotational basis when performing strategic analysis.
That's right. You are right on point as always, sir.
Wow. That's some good information. And I'm sure our listeners will appreciate this. The devil's advocate.
Yeah, even past the eye-grabbing title.
Oh, it's eye-grabbing, all right.
Oh, yeah. And Howard, you know, yes. I think what we need to do in the future, and I need to be more proactive about this, but, you know, I'm sure our listeners would love an opportunity to get to meet you and to see you talk in person and to speak to them and share your insights on management and leadership. And so what we'll plan on doing in the future is when you have a public engagement next, we'll plan on advertising that a bit in advance to give the listeners in that area a chance to come and see you.
Sounds wonderful, Nathan. That sounds wonderful.
All right. Well, hey, my friend, you have a great evening.
You too, buddy.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, don't work too long and too hard.
I'm going to try to wrap it up here soon.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many strategy-driven white papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.